All right. Good evening to those who are joining in here through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for having us worldwide live. We are still greeting the people who are joining in on the phone line, and so somebody else just came in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. It's Tony in San Clemente.
Good evening, Tony. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
All right. Doing well as well. Thank you.
Good Hi,
to
Tony.
Good evening.
Hi,
Lucy. Hi.
Tony, we were just talking about you today.
Oh, when we're not.
I swear, well, I was.
Talking
Maybe
to who?
You were.
I was talking to Dean's girlfriend. You know who Dean is?
Yes.
Dean produces that expo where we met you in San Diego, right?
Yeah.
And she was...
Yeah.
She was trying to convince me to come to an expo in North Hollywood, in Hollywood. And I was telling her, oh, I always lose money going to these expos. I mean, it's always worth it because somebody finds me who wouldn't have otherwise. Even when I was in San Diego and there was only two people in the room, Tony has gotten a lot of support from our work. Really, I had that conversation with her today.
So you're not going to go?
Well, I don't know yet.
Oh, you haven't made up your mind?
I might. I mean, you know the problem... Oh, well, go ahead.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Tia.
Hi, Maryland. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for being here.
Hey, Maryland. Ron here.
Who is it?
Ron, Mountain Grove.
Oh, I think you have the wrong. There's a lot of Marylands here.
So many Marylands in so little time.
Paula, thank you for being here. Appreciate your name and location.
Hi, this is Teresa in Indiana.
Good evening, Teresa. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. And the next caller, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, this is Don in Superior, Wisconsin.
Good evening, Don. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
All right. Doing fine. Doing Superior.
The sun came out today.
All right.
Where is Terry today?
I believe her to be in Sedona. But not on the call. Good evening, welcome. Please say your name and location.
How you doing? Hi, this is David Mesa.
Good evening, Dave. Welcome to the call. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking.
And somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Susan in Delaware.
Good evening, Susan. How are you doing?
Good evening.
Welcome to the call. Well Aware in Delaware.
Yeah.
Actually, it's just the opposite. I make a joke about that.
Yeah.
What's an email? Yeah. What's an email?
Hey, I was born in Philadelphia, you know. And I used to work in Wilmington at one point in my life.
Wilmington, Delaware?
That's right.
Oh.
In which lifetime?
This lifetime. You know, they called me. You know, you guys may wonder why I have so many stories. You don't believe how many stories I haven't even told you. And if
you've been around.
They told me I was working out 27 lifetimes this lifetime. So, was that
what
when?
What do you mean by that? Working out 27 lifetimes. You mean the karma from which?
I think so.
Oh.
I think so, yeah.
Hey, am I okay? Can you hear me?
Yes, we have a few more people come in. Welcome to you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Dharmananda.
Hello, Dharmananda. How are you doing?
Dharmananda, I'm glad you're on the line tonight. I was thinking of you. Did you read my topic?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I thought that you would have... I want people to share on that, okay? Because, and you'd be a good one. Okay,
Excuse me, Wayne. Could I answer Ron's question?
Oh, hold on 1 second. I want to welcome those who just joined in. Please say your name and location.
Adam, Kingsport, Tennessee.
Who's this from Tennessee?
Adam.
Hey, Adam. Good. How's it cool?
I'm fine.
All right.
Hi, it's Don in Brexville. Hi, how are you?
Oh, Don, rock to the call.
Thanks.
More have joined if you want to.
And Michael in Camino.
Hello, Michael. How are you doing?
Real good. Thank
all
you.
All right.
Julia
David
in
Tennessee.
California.
Hello, Julia. Welcome to the call.
Hi, everybody.
I hope you're doing well.
Hello, Julia.
Hi.
And did I hear somebody else from Tennessee?
David.
Hello, David. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Julia, I'm so glad you're coming in, checking in on the calls.
Thank you, Wynn. Me too. I'm grateful for them.
You know,
and those who just joined in, thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan here.
Hello, Nancy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, it's 6 o'clock. Where is Mrs. Brown?
Does she have a lovely daughter?
I'm glad you said that.
I was thinking that.
I welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. This is Michael in San Diego.
Hello, Michael. Evening.
Greetings.
For the next caller, please say your name and location. But only if you want to.
But only if you want to.
I had a weird thing happen when I called in to begin with tonight. I'm assuming I misdialed something, but I got the number through, and then I dialed the access code, and then I was greeted by the voice saying, access code accepted. You're the only one on the line. So I hung up, and I went and double-checked on the website, and everything was correct. It was the same on the email as on the website, and so I just tried it again and got through. But could I misdial the access code and would it accept another access code?
Possibly so.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You might have been in the Twilight Zone.
Yep.
You probably dialed the access code for the Wednesday call.
No, I dialed, I just missed one number, I'm guessing, on the one here, and I did double check the Wednesday access code is totally different.
Yeah, no.
So I either did like 173746, or I'm guessing I only got one number off. But it was Rod Serling's voice that came on the second time.
That's a good one.
We had a few more people join in here. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Cynthia, Tucson, Arizona.
This was two people at the same time. I heard. And who was it from Arizona?
Hi, this is Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Welcome to the call. And was it Susan?
Yes, hi, Suzanne in Columbus.
Hello, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm fine, hi. Thank you.
All right. And I heard also a lady from Arizona, I believe.
Yes, this is Cynthia.
Hello, Cynthia. How are you doing?
Good.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Yvonne from Florida.
Hello, Yvonne. Good evening to you. Welcome to the call. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Was that Lori from Tombstone?
Oh, God. Where's Terry?
All right. I think we should start.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I just muted everybody. But wait a second. Wayne, you wanted to answer a question for Ron. What was your, go ahead. Wayne, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I did a star six for myself. I do it all the time, so I don't make a mistake.
And you know, I need a little direction from those southern twangers. There's a product that's made down in, I think you pronounce it Buford. Is that correct? I mean, if you spell it B-O-U-N-D-R-E-A-U-S, what is that? How do you people from Tennessee say that?
That's Boudreaux.
Oh, Boudreaux.
Boudreaux.
Okay, well, there's a very famous paste. It's called Boudreaux's butt paste.
Butt paste?
Yeah, butt paste. It says,
all right.
go kick some rash.
Let's get the star six going. Sorry, I asked Wayne.
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris. Good evening, Mark.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey. Joey's not there yet, right?
No.
Well. All right. We are just, everyone's muted. And you want to cut off the tone, Tyus? Can you do that?
I did.
Good. Okay. And what am I going to do about Terry? Jeez. You know, you have to be kind of spaced out to channel. Did you know that?
I believe so, yeah.
Right. I mean, hang on a second. Let me start our recording. Oh, wait a second. Let me get... I tuned all this stuff up for today. And listen, all you guys that are listening on the internet, we know you're there. We can't hear you say hello. Occasionally, come in and say hello because it's nice to create affinity with you in person. Not exactly in person, but in voice on the phone. And we're so glad you're listening. And I do get emails from you. And I know for many of you, these calls are helping to hold a space for you. And I'm so glad that we can do that. And now I'm going to start the recording. It is...
This conference is being recorded.
This is October 7th, 2013. And this is Wynn in Sedona. And we don't have Terry here yet. What is she doing? Oh, well, we don't need her. This morning, I was having an interesting conversation with somebody that's a long-term person that comes into our calls. And we were talking, and there was certain things they've been going through for a long time. And while we were on the phone, I got an email that came in from somebody that sends quotes out all the time. And I read the quote, and I said, this is exactly what this person, in my opinion was, it was what their issue was. And I read it to them, and they said, wow, that rings true. And it was a quote from Jesus. And there are so many things that Jesus said that even when I was younger, even though I was not brought up a Christian, when I would read them, I said, I know the truth of this. I understand this. This guy must have been something else.
because he was saying things, such deep principles of the way things work at a high level. And some part of myself was intuitively understanding those principles. And I didn't ever buy the Bible lock, stock, and barrel, but I took some of those sayings, some of the parables, some of the wisdoms, and I read them, and it just clicked. And, of course, now I understand quite a bit more about Jesus. And I understand also how many of the teachings and even the Bible got corrupted. How did it get corrupted? Maybe some of you don't know this, but there was something called the Council of Nicaea, N-I-C-E-A, which was, I think, 300 years after Jesus' recorded historical time on this planet. And this was a bunch of Romans who were going through and putting together and editing the Bible. And, you know, what happens historically every time that I can see is that when there is some kind of epic event, some kind of interface between realms, something that's pure, it always gets corrupted. And we can go back to the Edgar Casey Ra-Ta incident in Egypt, where Ra had said they actually manifested bodies, they actually built the pyramids by levitation, in conjunction with an early life of Edgar Casey that was named Ra-Ta, and that through the Carla Rucker channelings, they said that our work, the work we did was picked up by the priesthood, who used our name, but not us. In other words, all through Egyptian history, there is the name Amun-Ra. And even the word Amen is probably derivative of Amun-Ra. But Amun-Ra was not the Ra group. Amun-Ra was the name that the priests adopted. You know, the Ra group comes in, they're working with Ra-Ta, they're building pyramids by levitation, they manifest physical body forms that people can see, and they make quite an impression on people. And the priests were looking at this and were kind of jealous. It was taking all their steam. No one was paying attention to the priests. And so the priests went, and then after Ra-Ta was gone, they started using the word Ra, but they were not working with the Ra group. This is how tricky names can be. Because somebody says Jesus doesn't mean they're working with Jesus. And Jesus even said that. People will come in my name, but doesn't mean they're in my name. And if you're on the Sunday grid healing, we were talking about this idea of how you can combine an energy of yourself with other beings. And that when we're on these calls, we are learning, I'm learning, how to have that experience with you all, where we combine our energies and we kind of ride together energetically. And when that happens, there's something that shifts. And then these interdimensional sources, which have identified themselves as the Ra group and the Elohim group, can come in, we can interface, and they can ride their energies on our energies. I don't know if ride is the best word, blend, come together, and we can feel a shift when they come in. And I said, as soon as I talk about them, even right now, as I talk about them, it's like they're there, and some of you could feel that energy shift as they came in, and they're part of the energy of the call. Now, I'm just saying that's how I think it works, and the only way for someone to validate this is not to believe me, but to have the experience by coming into these calls till you have the feeling of, I see what he means. I can feel the shift. And then you know it works. Otherwise, it's just in your head. It's just a belief. And the problem with negative stuff is it will take that experience away and turn it into a belief, not an experience. And that's the beginning of it getting corrupted. And then if you don't believe this, you're not going to be saved. Now it's really corrupted. Now it's using fear to control you. So that is not what I get out of Jesus' teachings. Not at all. Now, there were maybe one or two things he said that we'd have to interpret to see what did he mean by that. But the thing that I was talking to this person about earlier today, the quote that I never heard this quote before, and the guy just sent it to me. If you bring forth what is inside you, what you bring forth will save you. If you don't bring forth what is inside you, what you don't bring forth will destroy you. Wow. How is that? That means it's not about following something. It means that you have to find a way to bring forth the deepest part of yourself. Bring it forth till someone else gets it. And when you do that, it saves you. And if you don't bring it forth, it will destroy you, what you don't bring forth. Well, you know, another way of looking at that is that when you bring something forth that's the deepest part of yourself, and you start to connect with the higher realms of energy that go along and ride with you, you could say that I think that's what saving you means, because it means you are learning to anchor your energy not just in this realm, but in other realms. And that means when you leave this realm, you've created an anchor somewhere else while you're alive. And I can't prove this, but my strong feeling is that anchor is there when you leave this realm. And if there's no anchor, it's not there. So we're developing anchors in other realms with other intelligences. We're learning to feel their energy. We're learning what their MO is. We're learning to decide whether we can trust them. And we are expanding our space so that we become affiliated with them, not following them. They don't want you to follow them. They don't want to control you. You are on your own path. Each of us is on our own path. And we have to make our path manifest. And it's going to be different for everyone. But every one of you knows you have something awesome inside of you. And you haven't known how to bring it forth. And it's there waiting for you to discover how to bring it forth. Because if you don't bring forth what is inside you, what you don't bring forth will destroy you. And, you know, I can say in this conversation I was having this morning, there was a moment in my life probably 13 years ago. And I knew I had something inside of me. I knew it from my music. I had brought forth great songs, inspiring songs. And I knew I had that. And I walked away from it. And I felt like I went into, like, without going into the story, you know, I had a thing where a song got stolen, and I said the world was too much for me. I felt very sensitive and vulnerable. And I said, I have to make money, and then I'll go back to music, because this world's a big, bad place. I didn't know that up to that point. And then I ended up living in my RV, selling things at swap meets, and it's festivals, and it's 20 years later, 25 years later, and I'm in Carlsbad, and I could have fun at these things. It wasn't that they weren't enjoyable, but I said to myself, if I have to do this for the rest of my life, I would rather die now. And then I went across the street to the liquor store, and I bought a notepad, and I started writing some poems. I should read some of those poems that I wrote that day. Because I said, geez, I can still write. I can still be inspired. And then I started sending poems out on the internet, and people started posting them in their blogs and whatever. And they'd be telling me, my poem's on your refrigerator. I love your poem. And I said, I'm still relevant. I can still write. I can still touch people. And then, because I did that, and, you know, it didn't seem like a big decision. I mean, I said, I wonder if I'll be a famous poet. Could I make a living selling poetry? I probably could have if I put my mind to it. But at least I was touching people's spirits through my writing. And then a couple magazines started printing my poems and putting them in their magazine. And one magazine that I sent a poem to emailed me back and said, we don't use poetry, but would you like to write an assignment? Now, writing an assignment means they give you something they want you to write about or someone they want you to interview. And I'm saying to myself, why in the world do they want me to write an assignment when I sent them a poem? But I said, I'm not going to, like, look a gift horse in the mouth. And, of course, I told them, yes, I'll write an assignment. And they gave me this author to interview. His name was Dharma Singh Khalsa. And he had a book called Meditation as Medicine. And I scheduled an appointment. I'm not going to tell you the story, but I eventually did the interview. They loved the interview. They said they wanted to pay me every month to interview somebody. And so they were assigning me. At the time, I interviewed Greg Braden. I interviewed Uri Geller. Who else did I interview? I interviewed, those are the two most famous people. I wrote an article on Baba Ramdas, who was one of my early heroes. And about 6 months into writing these articles, I discovered David Wilcox's website. And I said, oh my God, I think this guy is Edgar Cayce. And I called my editor up and I said, I think I found the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I'd like to interview him. She looked at his website and she emailed me or called me, I can't remember, and she said, Wayne, he looks like some kind of wacko to me. And I told her, well, he might be a wacko, but I'm sure he's Edgar Cayce. And she said, well, you can interview him, but I'm not going to promise anything until I read it. So I interviewed David, and I sent her the interview, and she said, oh, my God, you're right. He's Edgar Cayce. And then she said, I think you're the guy that's supposed to write the book about it. Well, I had never written a book. I mean, it was a big effort for me to write articles and interview people. But I was good at it. And I know I was good because it was like you get to the heart of somebody. And I kept thinking, man, I think this is important. And then I started thinking, I think Jesus was connected to this, or, you know, the Christ consciousness, the way they were writing about Jesus. And they had this one statement in the, that they made through David. We came to you in Christianity, but we don't speak in those terms anymore. We don't usually speak in those terms anymore because of the way religion screwed it up. And I was thinking, what are they saying? They came to you in Christianity. How are they connected to Christianity? Well, you know, I don't believe things so easily just because the Ra group says it or the Elohim says it. But it set me off on a whole bit of investigation. If you go in the archives, there is a whole talk I did one Monday about the connection between Ra and Jesus. And that it was my take that the Ra group was connected to Jesus. And that maybe even he was part of their plan or co-creation between the being that was Jesus and the Ra group. And I'm not going to go through that because we already did that. But I do believe that that's true. And in fact, at one point, I asked the question to Daphne, or to the sources through Daphne, and I said, when Jesus said, Father, who was it that answered him? And they said, as you would know it, it would have been the Ra group. Now, I'm not saying to believe that. This is like one of many things that drew me to that as a conclusion. And, but it, the whole point is it doesn't matter if it's true. All that matters is that we make connection with the Christed energies, with the higher energies, and learn to integrate them into our lives. And Terry, you're not there yet, are you? You know,
I'm here.
Thought I would,
I'm here.
Oh, you're there. How
yeah,
come you're
I'm
so
here,
late?
Here.
How come you're so late today?
Well, I got a call and then I lost track of the time and I came in at 8 after.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you're here because we might ask a little question at the end on this topic. But
yeah.
Before we go rattling on, I thought I would, now, let me see if we can open the mics. And I wonder if I want to ask just a general question. Okay, the mics are open. Hello? Okay. The mics are closed, but I'll meet some of those people. Here's the question.
Hold on, did not. Okay, but right now we muted, yes.
Okay, you got the muted, good. How many of you, except for the ones of you that are muted, we're not going to hear you.
I will pick up the one who speaks up, you know, and I'll hold on a second, I'll mute the lines, and I'll lift out that person.
How do you lift them out?
By seeing initially who starts talking.
But they're muted. If they're muted, you can't see the
button,
can you?
I'm going to mute from the bottom menu.
But if they're muted already, when they start to talk, they won't come into the bottom menu.
We will unmute briefly to see who wants
All right.
to.
Okay, well, unmute briefly, and Heise is going to mastermind this. How many of you, here's the general question, we can unmute everybody. How many of you come from a Christian background?
All right, so who wants to talk?
Now we got, wait a second. We got to unmute everybody. Let's just hear.
I was raised Catholic.
Sort of.
I am.
Yes.
You?
I do. This is Chris.
Yeah.
Wrong Catholic.
I am. So
yeah,
I am.
Yeah, me too.
Me too.
Now,
I am.
How many of you started out as Christians and then dumped it because there were too many control patterns in it?
I definitely did. I wasn't put up, I was dragged up.
You were dragged out, okay.
Next a little opposite way to Satanism.
I converted. Chris, you converted from Christianity to Satanism?
Well, not necessarily.
We're not going to ask you. We're not going to ask you to share.
Yeah, kind of.
We're not going to ask you to share any more than that. But thank you. Okay.
Nothing too serious.
And how many of you see a connection between the deepest aspects of Christianity and the work we're doing?
I do.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah, I do.
Absolutely.
I do.
Yeah. All right. Well, I do too. Terry, do you? Hello, Terry. Calling Earth to Terry.
Okay, yeah, I'm unmuted. I see a definite connection here.
Right. Now, there's a lot we don't know about Jesus. I mean, when I've read, there's the historical Jesus, and then there's periods of time when Jesus disappeared. And there's people who say that Jesus went to India and got initiated by all kinds of stuff. There's people that say, I'm just telling you, I'm not telling you, I don't know what's true and what's not true. Some people say that it actually was not Jesus. There were more than one Jesus. And that the one that got crucified was not the Jesus. And that the Jesus went to Europe, married, and brought forth offspring. I don't know if you've ever heard that one. So I haven't studied all of that to try to say what's true or not true, and I don't think I want to, because it's not important, because I don't want to, it's not necessary to rewrite history for people that have used the formal presentation of Jesus. But we do know that Jesus was a man. And that he had pain, he had joy. Some people say he had sex, but that's not written in the scriptures. That he did miracles, and we can't prove that, but that's pretty well stated all through the scriptures, and there were witnesses to various miracles. But the one thing that's easiest to validate are some of his sayings, because regardless of any of the other stuff, these things stand totally on their own, and they're really deep. Like that, if you bring forth what is inside you, what you bring forth will save you. If you don't bring forth what is inside you, what you don't bring forth will destroy you. Did you ever hear that, Terry?
No, I never heard that, but that makes sense.
That's Jesus Christ, Book of Thomas, that somebody emailed me today, and I thought that was phenomenal. Because, different ways that I would have of saying the same thing, but I have said that, is that when you come from a high place, when you come like a wanderer, and you have lots of spiritual potential inside of you, it's like you're a seed that hasn't germinated. But the spiritual potential creates a pressure in your being, and that if you don't let that pressure loose and let that potential release, the pressure eats you up alive. And I've had that experience. It's like there's too much juice inside you that's getting backed up that can make you sick, give you headaches, make you spacey. Some of you may know that. And when you start releasing that, and how do you release that? That's all. We could talk just for the whole show just on this one saying. But each person has to figure it out for themselves. But it does mean, at the most basic level, it's you have to experience true and deep care with other humans
You have to create that experience. And I know that we're creating that here. I'm creating it. We're creating it. Terry's creating it. There's a deep care. And that deep care gives me, I can tune into it. It gives me a reason to wake up every day and be alive. Other than just say, what do I have to do to earn money? What do I have to do to this? And all the mundane things. So it doesn't, expressing deep care with another person doesn't mean you have to do something public. It doesn't mean you have to do a radio show. It'd be great if you do it with someone in your family. It'd be great if you do it, you know, where you're helping someone, where you go to, you know, where you go to some deep care. How can I say it? You know, deep care with a waitress. Terry and I went to a restaurant recently, and the waitress from a restaurant that closed down. And even though we didn't keep in touch with her, there was kind of a unspoken care that we developed. And she was so happy to see us at this new restaurant. Let me come up with another one here. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Okay. Now, you could interpret that to mean I just better be loving and whatever. It's just another way of saying what I just said, deep care. When you let someone really depend on you, that's been hard for me because I don't like responsibility, but when you let somebody depend on you, it brings an energy forth that makes you understand and connect with the higher realms. And I let you depend on me, and I start depending on you depending on me. But and then I have to keep showing up 3 times a week, which is really contrary to one part of my nature. But I know it's important, and it gives me a reason to be. And so by loving one another, we make our lives valuable to ourselves. Terry, I know Terry has the experience of that. Anything you want to share?
I think it's like a very fortifying and nurturing. And it doesn't mean that you go along with everything or if you just go along and try and be nice and everything, like that kind of inhibits your feelings. But when you can be totally honest, it's like that loving and caring at a very deep level can come out in its fullest form.
And here's another one in the same vein. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Now, he's not talking about unconditional divine love there. He's talking about a different kind of love. But nonetheless, it's if you want to tap into higher realms, you have to tap into unconditional love. Unconditional love is a radiance from yourself. It's not I'll give this to you and you give this to me. That's karmic love. That's reciprocal exchange. And I remember I used to do the I Ching years ago. I don't know if any of you, it's a book of divination. And it was very wise. When I was young, I thought, wow, this is how the world works. And And there was a thing there called holding together. And I read that over and over again because I was still learning, developing. And it said, even close bonds can exist between thieves. When people have a common interest, it's easy to have a close bond. But only those relationships that are connected by inner truth last all things, endure. Because when a relationship is based on a common bond, when the bond is gone, the relationship is gone. And so ask yourself and the relationships in your life, how many of them are based on inner truth and how many are based on a common interest? And don't confuse common self-interest in a relationship, common interest, with the highest love. That doesn't mean you should have relations. You can't help but have certain relationships like that based on common interest. It's okay, but you need to have relationships, some relationships in your life that are based on inner truth. Now, of course, that's easy. The question is, well, how do I get a relationship based on inner truth? How do I do that? Well, it's going to be different for everybody. We could go for like weeks on this topic, but I want to present the questions so that you can contemplate it and ask yourself, and don't kid yourself, because if you have relationships that you think are love, that it's reciprocal, like I give love to you and you give love to me, then, you know, in those relationships, there's usually a tally card, like I think I gave you more than I'm getting, or you owe me, or I did this for you, so do this back for me. In relationships that are the deepest level, there's not a tally card. But you also can't be taken advantage of. So there you need discernment to make sure if you're giving of this deepest part of yourself, you're not throwing, and Jesus said this, pearls before swine. Okay? And here's another one. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and suffers the loss of his soul? Well, to me, that means that if you are in the world and of the world, when you die, you've got to incarnate back onto this planet because that's where all your energy strings are. If you want to graduate this realm, if you want to move on, then you have to detach yourself from the world. Even if, it doesn't mean you can't be successful, it doesn't mean you can't have sex, it doesn't mean you can't participate in the world, but you can't let it own you. You have to move into something as an experience and be able to move in and out of it. And then, of course, let the one among you who is without sin be the first to cast the first stone. Now, isn't that the lady who was supposed to be a prostitute, they were going to stone her? Is that right, Terry?
Yeah, they were going to stone her.
And they were going to stone her for being a prostitute. And then he said, let the one among you who is without sin to be the first to cast the stone. And so basically, I don't like to use the word sin, okay? I don't like that word. But it would be the one among you who has no negativity inside you. The one among you who's never felt lust or felt hate or felt rage or felt revengeful. Because I think everyone who's in a body feels horrible things at different times. And they know these are not the things I want to feel. and yet you're feeling them. I remember one time somebody screwed me in a business deal, and I said, now I understand why the mafia exists, because they were so unethical, and part of me wanted to do them in. I wouldn't have ever done it, but I had the feeling of it, and I certainly would be considered a sin to even have that feeling, and that all of us have it. And the problem is, when you think of sinfulness and you identify those things, the first thing you do is judge yourself, and now you're just rubbing salt in the wound, because you have. It's not good to act on those feelings. You can do your best not to act. Like, if you feel like revengeful, don't do it. Just let it go. Sit around, wait a few days, and stew. But don't judge yourself for being revengeful. You can't control these things that come up in you. You can't control them. If you could control them, you could make yourself wrong, because you could say, why didn't I tell myself to stop? You can't. But you can stop from taking actions on them. You can stop from manifesting them. Okay? And, let's see. And let's see here. What's another one? This is another one like before. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same. Okay? Of course, one of the things he said, now there were two things that he said that seemed contrary, okay? And one of them is, let's see. Now here's one. Now this one kind of sounds religious, and this one, I'm not sure. I'll read it, okay? I will read it, because then I'm going to read the contrary one. And there were two different statements that don't seem to say the same thing. And so here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, what I have a problem there is, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And first of all, Jesus somewhere else said, these things I do, you can do also, and much more. Which means to me that we are all the sons of God, and that we all have, we are that, but can we reach that potential? That's our own individual challenges. And then he uses the word, whoever believes in him should not perish. And then later he says, people will use my name, but they don't come in my name. And that you can't use Jesus' name as a way of saying, like if somebody came up to me and said, do you believe in Jesus? Are you saved? I couldn't answer that, okay? Because the question, I couldn't answer that question. I would say, I mean, I might try, I'd say in my own way, yes. That's probably what I would say. I think I said that. But whoever believes in him, I don't like the way the word belief is there, believe. Because believe makes it sound like it's a mental choice, a mental decision. And I think that to have the spirit of Jesus in your heart is to have the spirit of all that is in your heart. And Jesus represented that energy. And so that one is contrary one, although somebody who is strictly religious would take that to say, if you're not a Christian, you're in trouble. They would refer to a statement like that. Because if you don't believe in, if you don't tell me you believe in Jesus right now, you are not saved. And I remember reading stuff like that, and I said, this would be a very unfair world, because not everybody is even exposed to Jesus. And if somebody is not exposed to Jesus, if they're not exposed to Jesus, then they don't even have a chance. And that means just through a quirk of where they were born, what country they grew up in, they can't be saved. And as we're learning, in my estimation, being saved is a constant experience. It's a constant experience of waking up and being reborn in spirit, being reborn in this moment right now, being reconnected to all that is, to the higher timelines, and to have no past and no future. And, of course, you have a past, but you're not in your past. And your future is just an offshoot of being in the now. And if you be in the now, you are making connections to the higher realms. And in that would qualify you for being saved. And if you screw up, you go right back and catch yourself and bring yourself back into the center of things, and you're saved again, okay? So that's that one I wouldn't quote and say that I understand that. Now, maybe there's something I'm missing, but that's how I understand it, okay? And then it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then there's the famous quote about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you know why that is, Terry? Let's see.
When you get rich, then you really ground yourself in the third density realm. And like you feel like you've got it totally under control. And then when you die, you've lost all of those riches and all of the ability to command power that you relied on, and so you'll probably just reincarnate and try and set it up again.
You know, I think one thing I decided is that people that develop huge amounts of money, much more than they need, try to set up themselves up so they keep their money within a family structure and that they reincarnate in as a grandchild or a great-great-grandchild. So they come in and they constantly stay in that lineage to have access to the money in this realm. And did you ever hear that, Terry? I'm almost sure that's true. But
yes, I've heard that.
So it keeps you in this realm. Money keeps you in this realm. You know, it's very interesting. Very few people. If you're one of those people that have lots of money and you're listening tonight, you're an exception. But send money, would you please? Because we can reach more people if we're touching you. But very few people that have lots of money pay attention to our work.
I won't say nobody, but I think if they're here and they have lots of money and they realize what we're doing, they would be donating. Now, Jesus did have a donor, didn't he, Terry? Do you know who he was?
I don't know.
There was that guy, oh my God, Joseph of Arimathea, who funded Jesus. Apparently was a wealthy trader, but somehow that probably he did some kind of miracle or had some kind of personal experience that made him want to support Jesus. And you know what? We're almost over tonight. Let me take a moment, and if I unmute everybody, I'll bet you guys have comments on the stuff we're talking about. I should have opened it up. We have about 2 or 3 minutes. I'll tell you what, anyone have a strong feeling about anything we said? Positive, negative, indifferent, or how it, you know, you related to it? Do *6, and please share it. Anyone want to do a *6?
I have something.
And who is that? Is that Lisa? No,
it's Marilyn.
Oh, Marilyn in Delaware.
Pennsylvania.
Susan in Delaware. Go ahead, Marilyn.
That first one that you said, I don't remember all of the words, if I love the people. What was the first one that you quoted it twice?
If you bring forth what's inside you, what you bring forth will save you.
No,
you
about don't bring forth. How caring for other, if you... about other people.
Loving people who love you back. Okay?
Yes. What I get from that is to learn to love the people that hate you the most.
I think that's another thing Jesus said, too. You learn, you know what? When you learn loving the people that hate you, one of the tricks to that is people think when you love someone, you have to be nice to them. And in fact, you may never want to talk to the person that hates you, but you can have empathy for them because you can see their suffering and their hate, and send them, have a loving energy. They don't pull you off of your love, but thank you, Marilyn. That's true. And someone else came on there. Who was that?
Me.
Who's me? You can say just your first name if you want.
Dharmananda.
Who is that? Oh, Dharmananda. Yeah, go ahead. Now, Dharmananda, let me just say, has been emailing me for a few months, and he's the fellow that was doing healings, going into the center of town. I know he was emulating Jesus, and I wasn't completely sure if he was a wacko or not at first, but I decided he was really holding the energy, and he did a healing on our call, bringing in the Christed energy for someone, and then he called a couple of people, and so far, everyone that he's done this for has had great things to say about it, and even Carla Ruckert, he did something with Carla, and Carla said, that guy was really good. And so if any of you email me, I'm just giving you a promotion here. He's not charging people, but please send them a donation. Insist on it so you have some kind of exchange. Because I know if I keep putting them out, there's going to be 50 or 100 people that are going to say, have him call me. So he's not going to be able to do it unless people give an exchange of some sort. So go ahead, Dharmananda. We have about 1 minute.
Yeah, I like all the things you said, and I just was trying to follow Jesus, as you know, what he says to his disciples is to go out and make more disciples and teach them to do the same and to spread the word to all the world, because the workers are few and the harvest is plenty. We need more people, in the light that are out there working with, the Spirit and healing people. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? You're right on. You should get the quote on that. I'd like to get the quote on that. Get my thumb cards, okay? Pass some thumb cards out.
because it's a way, I don't use the word disciples, okay? I'm not creating a religion. And I guess I could approach this in another way, and this could be a religion, except I decided for the highest service at this point that it was possible to use the media to be a public figure, and who knows, I may change my mind, but I would ultimately reach more people as opposed to being a religion. And yet so many of the principles of the best principles of religion are true here, and we have like less than 30 seconds. Dharmananda, what did you want to say? Quick, get it out. Anything else?
That's about it. I'm inspired to, you know, help people if possible to be healed and to help them.
Are you going to be on our Wednesday call? Because if you're on our Wednesday call, maybe you can do a healing on the call for someone, or to